All right. Well, we can do that. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would stand, if you can, we're going to start out by singing Shout to the Lord.
This is
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptation's hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Amen. Praise the Lord. By and by, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody got a pick of him this evening? You got a short one? Yeah, what's a short hymn? 704? Hey, we're really close to 704. We're already in the 700s. God will make a way. Yeah, that's a good one. 704, God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. God God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others this evening? Oh, all right.
All right. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Do we have any praises this evening?
I have a praise, brother.
All right. Let's hear it.
I had a visitor in my Sunday school class this morning.
Yeah, you did. Amen.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to have him there.
Amen.
All right. Right.
Amen. All right. Way to go.
You got praise.
Yeah.
Mine's not good like that, but 20 of our windows were failing, and we got new windows on Thursday, and they did it in one day.
All right, amen.
So praise God.
Yeah.
New windows. The light bill might go down, right? Amen.
Amen, amen. Any other praises? Frank's got one up here. Frank's got a praise. Frank. Frank. No, it's already on.
Get close, huh?
Yeah.
Is that close enough?
Yeah.
Two things. Y'all have heard me mention my dear, dear friend, Mr. Sid Fancher, who had a stroke some 10 days or so ago.
Yes, sir.
I went to see him this afternoon, and I was so pleased. He had his daughter-in-law from North Oklahoma there. She and her husband had come down, which is Mike, Sid's son.
Yep.
And they were there. But my point is, from what I saw him 2 days ago, Sid was greatly improved, and the doctors are giving increased favorable reports each day, which
Amen.
I am so thankful for that. Sid
Amen.
Looked strong. He looked attentive. He was speaking much better.
Yeah.
The dexterity and the whatever you want to call it in his hands, the control of his fingers
yeah.
is better. So I'm thankful that God has been hearing and answering our prayers for my dear friend, Mr. Sid Fancher. I think y'all know, I've heard it said, but I'm going to say it one more time. He and I have been close friends since the early 80s, 40 years, maybe 41.
Wow.
But
Amen.
Denise and I moved to Texas, met with Sid and his then wife in the church. Not long after that, Sid and I and 103 others moved out to another church and practiced up on Peach Street for a while. But a dear man, chosen by God to represent the Spirit here on earth, represent by the Spirit only, but Sid is a wonderful man, and I wish you could meet him. It would be a delight.
Amen, brother.
So that's my praise, and I'd just like to say that thank you, John, for mentioning your visitor this morning. But I really did enjoy the Sunday school class this morning. I did not expect anything different. I didn't know who was going to teach, didn't care who was going to teach. I was looking forward to it. And Pastor Lee took me over, and I opened the door, and there stood Mr. Thornhill. or was it Thornbill? Which was it?
Thornhill.
Thornhill. But thank you, John, for a great lesson. Seriously speaking, I thought it was really, really good. You chose some good topics and brought them out nicely. It made me want to squirm in my chair a little bit, quite honestly. So thanks to...
Amen.
We enjoy having you as a visitor, you know, coming yeah. and sitting with us and fellowship. So.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
It's a pleasure. And it's not just a pleasure. It is a pleasure. But I tell you, it's a blessing indeed to be among God's people.
Amen.
Amen.
I have been among people
Amen. Well, thank you. We sure thank you. Amen. Thank you for the praise, man. We'll take it. Amen. We'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Amen. Thank you. You got a praise back there, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I got both. So praises first.
All right.
So the praise is from Loopy. She's my sister Rosemary's surgery on Friday went very well. It was almost 10 hours long, but she made it through. I am at her home with her now, taking care of her for a couple of days. So she said, praise the Lord, it was a success.
Well, amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen, Rosemary's surgery. All right, any other praises?
Yeah, I got one. We had a visit with my younger daughter yesterday. It went very well. We don't see her much. She's always running, and they're always doing, and they're always at a distance from us. But we got to see our grandson, too, Wyatt. He's looking well, going to college, still there.
Amen.
Thought about dropping out, but we talked him into staying in there.
Hanging in there, man.
Yeah, I told him, you stay in there all 4 years, and you'll be telling people what to do. But if you drop out, they'd be telling you what to do. Amen. That's what I told him.
Bless his heart. Amen.
Amen.
Man.
He's hanging in there.
All right.
All right.
Very good. All right. Anybody else with a praise? All right. Prayer requests?
Ready. We're going to lift up Ronnie Vackler. And we want to lift up Ronnie Holman and John Thornhill. And I will pray for these three guys.
Amen, brother.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've given us. We give you all the glory, Lord, and may your will be done with these three men, Lord. We just ask you to touch their bodies, Lord, and, put that healing touch on them. And
amen.
As they struggle with these issues of life, and sometimes this gets a little scary, you know, some of these cancers and stuff are just won't go away. But, God, we ask you to give them peace of mind and rest and concernment and look up to you, Lord, for guidance.
Yes.
Lord, to guide them through this, this illness and this, just being down in health. And, Lord, we thank you for John as he in the work and Ronnie and the work he does in our church, both these men. Lord, we sure appreciate them. And all of these things I ask in your precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, Ron, you got one over there?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, pray for my younger sister. She wouldn't seen her today. She's, within the last few days, she's went in and found out that she's got, like, stage 4 cancer on her kidneys, pancreas, and liver.
Yeah.
And then the doctor, I guess what's really upset her, the doctor gave her a pamphlet on to prepare for life in the future. So that's got her really scared. So, okay. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to lift up my sister Lorna to you, Lord, that to give her peace and comfort through this time as they try to figure out where the cancer started from, Lord, and to work and deal with that, Lord. We just pray for her daughters and sons, Lord, that you give them peace of mind about everything that's going on. We pray for the doctors that if when they start to do surgery or whatever they do, that you give them the wisdom and the knowledge to take that cancer out of her, Lord, and to heal her, Lord,
yes.
If that be your will, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you do. And we just pray that even if this is terminal, that to let her know that if she believes in Jesus as her Lord and Savior, that she will be going to heaven. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do.
Amen. Amen.
Miss Stephanie, we haven't heard anything about your father because we miss both your dad and your mom visiting us, and they haven't been here in a while.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he went home from Larry Field went home from the hospital today.
Yeah, and.
fault.
Pray for the caregivers that come to this house to take care of them.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
will do their job.
You got
it. Yeah, amen. Amen.
All right, Heavenly Father, we come to you again on Brother Larry. Lord, we ask that you constantly be in contact with him, Lord, that he probably has, I'm sure, uncertain questions going on, Lord. But, Lord, you are the great physician.
Yes.
You are the great comforter, and we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you put your arm around him, Lord, lead him. Be with his lovely wife, Lord, and give her wisdom, understanding, Lord. We know, Lord, that we all are going to one day leave, and we ask that you prepare us and give us a sign that you're in charge of our life, Lord. May we always look toward you for healing, understanding, patience.
Yes.
And Lord, may you continually watch over and guide us. We ask that you protect Brother Larry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes. We are you got anything?
Yeah. I don't know how. There's so much. I don't know how to really say it. So I just ask, because fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that God would turn my daughter Jess's heart back to him.
Amen. Amen. I'll pray for that.
Okay.
Jessica.
Jessica.
Amen. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. We lift up Jessica to you, Lord. Jennifer and John's daughter, and we're praying for her. Praying for her heart. We're praying Amen. For her soul. And
yes, sir.
Lord, we're lifting up her spirit to you tonight. Amen. Pray that your Holy Spirit might work in her in such a way that would bring her to a realization that she needs you. She needs to turn back to you, Lord. She needs to come full circle and just lean in upon you again. Lord, we pray that you help her find that and help her get back on that narrow road, Lord. And just be with John and Jennifer in this time. Comfort them. Give them the encouragement that they need to continue on. Lord, we lift that situation, that matter up to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. What else? What else? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Lift up Miss Linda Hudson.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get all of them. Barbara McNew.
Yeah.
And Miss Sakura.
Okay.
And Miss Bicky.
All right.
In your health.
Is everything okay with Miss Bicky?
I don't know, but she's not here. And if they're not here, I pray for them.
Yeah, amen. Amen, amen.
Yeah, her back been bothering. I know that.
I think she's visiting with her daughter right now.
Oh, did she go to her daughter's place?
That's what I thought I heard from somebody.
Because her daughter, her daughter was living with her. Yeah. Sharon was living with her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, maybe I had it back. Okay.
Yeah. So Bicky has moved to Sharon's for a time?
No, for a while.
For a while, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, they're just taking turns then. All right, that's fine.
Oh, Sharon. Oh, what's his name?
All right.
Okay. Oh, and we're going to lift up Justin, too, as he had he's in the Navy. He had some leg problem, right? His leg.
Yeah, Justin has a vitamin D deficiency, and that has caused a bunch of micro fractures below the knees.
Wow.
On both legs.
Was that going to mess him up in his...
He's on a 10-week. He's about a week and a half in on a 10-week recovery program.
Okay.
So they actually have a unit, a medical unit for these kids that have this condition.
Oh, wow.
And then my understanding is from Sharon is they're going to let him do that final run in an actual pair of running shoes. You know, they put those army boots on them. There ain't no cushion in that, man.
I don't know. When you're hurting, that run's going to be tough.
Yeah, either way.
Either
right.
way he goes.
Yeah, but hopefully getting vitamin D in him and rest in him. Hit
Amen.
Those,
all right.
Those fractures will heal up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'll lift up. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up Kathy's Aunt Linda Hudson and Miss Barbara McNew and Miss Sakura, Miss Bicky.
Yes.
Lord, and, you know, up in age and they're ailing with this and that, Lord. And we just lift them up to you, Lord. We lift all our shut-ins up to you. But I just mentioned these names, Lord, tonight. And we just, may your will be done with their life, Lord. Just take care of them. Watch over them, Lord. Keep an evil one away from them in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we lift up Justin to you, Lord. He's trying to get through this Navy, Lord. He just wants to get on it with it. And he hit a little stump, Lord. And we just pray that you get these legs well and this vitamin D works and he gets his little run in and he gets going in the Navy, Lord.
Amen.
We just thank him for joining the Navy and serving his country, Lord Jesus. We lift him up and his family, his mom. You know, Lord, she's worried about him. So we just thank you for him, Lord. And do pray for our pastor, Pastor Lee, Lord. We want to lift him up and his family, Lord. We just thank you for what he does in his study and his work, Lord. And we just ask you to watch over him and his health and Miss Stephanie. And we pray for Lily as she's doing with the back pains.
Yes.
Lord, they're trying to find out what that's about, Lord. We just pray that there's not a... It's not bad, and they could find something to do with that and help her out and get her back on that softball field where she can play some ball, right, Lord? Yeah. Things she loves to do. So she's young. We just pray she don't have no back issues just early in life. And, Lord, we just thank you for all the things you do for us again. And we know that you are in control, God, and we just give you all the praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, you've got something back there, Jeremiah?
Yeah, several chats. The first one is from Sharon Heibarger. Continued prayer for Justin. We got a call from him today. He's still on crutches.
Okay.
And you prayed for that. So thank you. And the next one's also from Sharon. I was exposed to COVID at work. Prayers for immunity and it not spread in the office.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Anything else?
Yes. The next one's from Sharon. Prayers for mom while I'm in isolation and not there for her.
Okay, so that explains it.
There's
Ryan. Yeah, that explains it. All right. All right, you want to lift those up for us, Jeremiah? You want to pray for those? Thank you, brother.
Yeah, dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for Sharon and Miss Bicky and
Amen.
And Justin. And Brother James already prayed for Justin, and we agree with the prayer for Justin's healing and success in the military. And then for Sharon's immunity, that she not get sick.
That's
and
right.
That the people in her office not get sick with COVID or anything else. Just let them heal up those that are, and then we pray for Miss Bicky while Sharon can't be there to help her out, and just help Miss Bicky, give her strength and comfort and during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, anything else, John?
We got another praise. I guess Jeremiah's got him a car.
Yep,
yeah, Jeremiah
Lord.
Got
yeah.
a car.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
for
God
car.
He got through the turmoil of the accident and is able to have steady transportation.
Amen. Yeah, you got to have a car around here.
Yep.
Everything's too far to walk.
Oh, yeah.
And all right.
Miss Loopy has some prayers also.
Okay.
Her first one is that her sister Rosemary's recovery from surgery on Friday will be 4 to 6 weeks. The next week is going to be toughest for her. Please pray for recovery. There be no setbacks.
All right. Is there anything else?
Yeah. And then the next one is from Miss Loopy. Please also pray for my cousin Leroy.
That's right.
His cirrhosis of the liver is taking a toll. He may not have much longer to live. Please pray for his salvation.
Salvation.
Yeah, and if the Lord's willing that he'd get a liver transplant. As of now, they've denied him for the transplant, but God can do anything. So please pray about that.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and that's all of them.
All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight as we close out our time of prayer. We thank you for hearing us, Lord. We thank you for these that have interceding on behalf of others. We thank you for the praises, Lord. It's so good to hear praise reports and encouraging words, Lord. Sometimes we get stuck in circumstances and situations where we tend to lose hope and take our eyes off you. But, Lord, when we hear praises and encouraging words, it helps us refocus. So we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Loopy's prayer request to you tonight. We lift up her sister Rosemary. We're thankful for the successful surgery. We're praying for a successful recovery, no secondary infections, Lord, no setbacks, minimal scarring. God, we pray you just draw her body back together and get her down the road to healing and recovery. And we pray for this other family member, Leroy. We're praying for his salvation. Lord, we pray that you would put chaplains in his way that would speak truth to him. You would put Christian health care providers across his path that would speak truth to him. Lord, other family members would call and speak a truth to him, the gospel. Lord, we pray that there would just be an onslaught of gospel seed sown on him, around him, in his life, in his heart. And Lord, we pray this gospel seed would take root and Leroy would find within himself that surrender, that submission to your gospel, Lord, and he would receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And Father, secondly, we pray if it be thy will that Leroy receive a liver transplant, that, Lord, you might allow that to happen and provide that second chance of physical life. But Lord, we ultimately are praying for his spiritual life. And Lord, we pray that you bring healing to him. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's word, we are going to continue on with the book of Leviticus. And this is a tough section we're entering into, chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15. And I would sum these chapters up, 12, 13, 14, yeah, four chapters. I would sum these four chapters up with the blanket statement, don't offend God. That's basically what we're dealing with. Don't offend the Almighty. Now, when we begin to think about that, the closest example, as we just kind of introduce this to you this evening, the closest example I can think of that is somewhat relatable to the Old Testament condition of uncleanness and offense, right, would be, and some of you older guys may be able to relate to this, what would be when how men used to be treated in the hospital during the birth of their children. Now, back when my kids were born, the times had changed. And Dad was a part of the birthing team. And Dad got to get down there and coach and talk about breathing and you can do it and all of that. But back when my father had me, like, you get on out of here, dirty old man. You sit out there in the waiting room, we'll let you know when it's time to come look at that baby through the glass, right? Yeah. If we can't really relate to that one, I think another example would be, maybe we can relate to this, I don't know, this definition of being unclean. A man, sorry men, picking on the men tonight, but a man walking into a crowded women's restroom. Has that ever happened to anybody? Okay. I mean, I've seen it on a movie a time or two, you know, where the young man or whatever goes into a woman's locker room or a woman's bathroom and everybody just starts screaming at the top of their lungs and shouting and just ridiculing the guy to get on out of there. Now, of course, in this day and time, with all of the melting together of the genders and genderfication and all of that, and men wanting to identify as women and women wanting to identify as men, vice versa and backwards and forwards, that example may have lost some steam as well. I don't know. I guess when we think about uncleanness, we'll just have to allow the Bible to communicate to us in a way that encourages us to time travel a little bit and use our God-given imaginations. Amen? So if you have a copy of God's Word, let's read a little bit here out of chapter 12. Out of chapter 13, because I'm going to cover 13 and 14 together. 13:1, don't necessarily have to stand for the reading of this word, but we're Bible studying tonight. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair in the infection is turned white and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy." That is going to be a general term there. Every time we see leprosy, it doesn't necessarily refer to leprosy like we find in the New Testament. So just kind of put that in the back of your mind. It is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Who has a New International Version Bible? Anybody? Ronnie, you got an NIV back there? Is yours NIV? Okay, well, we'll use Ronnie's Bible as an example here in a little bit. But if the bright, verse 4, but if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate him who has the infection for 7 days. The priest shall look at him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the infection has not changed and the infection has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. The priest shall look at him again on the seventh day, and if the infection has faded and the mark has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spreads further on the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest. The priest shall look, and if the scab is spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall then look, and if there is a white swelling in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprosy on the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. He shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. If the leprosy breaks out farther on the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of him who has the infection from his head, even to his feet, as far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the infection. It has all turned white, and he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. The priest shall look at the raw flesh, and he shall pronounce him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean, it is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turns again and is changed to white, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall look at him, and behold, if the infection has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. He is clean. That's verses 1 through 17. Now, let's try to think about the feeling of uncleanness. Think of what it must have meant to a person who had a serious skin problem to be publicly declared unclean, to be banned from worship, and even banned from the camp in which he was once living. Living outside the camp and in an unclean place, removed from fellowship with God, removed from fellowship with family, removed from fellowship with friends. Now, as I've studied these chapters, try to read through these chapters, try to cover all this commentary, this gets really bogged down in these chapters. Even more frustrating for me is the dilemma of the woman who, as a result of bearing a male child, a male baby, was unclean for 7 days and then kept apart from worship for another 40 days. How could a woman be declared unclean for having a baby? Right? Worse yet, if an Israelite woman had a female baby, the consequences, or should I say the penalty, was doubled so that she was unclean for 14 days and then separated for yet another 80 days. Imagine that. For every girl child a mother bore, she was kept apart for over 3 months. It's hard to imagine. Now, let's try to review. In our study of the book of Leviticus over the last several weeks, we came to the third major section of the book. The first section was chapters 1 through 7. We learned there about the sacrificial offerings and how they were to be presented. In the second major section, chapters 8 through 10, we studied the origination and the ordination of the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood founded on Aaron. Now, in this third major section of chapters 11 through 15, which chapter 11 we have covered in depth, we are learning about the distinction which God has defined between those things which are clean and those things which are unclean. Over the last several weeks, We have studied clean and unclean animals over and over again in this chapter 11. As we continue on, we're considering the remaining chapters, chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15, which deal with other types of uncleanness. Chapters 12 and 15 deal with the uncleanness related to sexual reproduction and the process of purification. Chapters 13 and 14 define unclean skin ailments and the process of purification. Now, this is where the problem comes for commentators, and the problem comes for would-be theologians, and the problem comes for pastors that want to preach through the great book of Leviticus. The problem of the passage, or my own personal struggles, is I've considered these four chapters in the book of Leviticus. I've come to the realization that the dilemma of the woman who has borne a child is not the only perplexing problem in the text. In virtually every case of uncleanness, which is defined by God in these chapters, the one who is declared unclean is not responsible for his or her condition. A wife could hardly be held responsible for bearing a child to her husband. A woman could hardly be guilty for having a normal monthly menstrual cycle. A man with a serious skin ailment can hardly be said to be guilty for his condition. A husband and wife cannot be guilty for having normal physical relations. And yet in each of these cases, God has declared that the person in these circumstances is unclean. That person is barred from participation in worship, in offering sacrifices, in having any access to the tabernacle where God dwelled. In addition, the unclean person was removed from fellowship and communion with the congregation of Israel and was required to live outside the camp. Now, what you can get out of this is a praise the Lord moment for the new covenant. And that's what you can get out of this real quick. Praise the Lord, Jesus came. Amen. And we're not doing this anymore, right? The problem of uncleanness without personal responsibility has been recognized by Bible students, but their explanations often leave much to be desired and fail to come to a consensus. And so the more I have considered this dilemma, the more convinced I have become that the answer to this quandary is the key to our understanding of the distinction of clean and unclean in the Old Testament. The explanation also aids us greatly in appreciating the superiority of the new covenant to the old. Praise the Lord for the new covenant. So let us listen well. Let's attempt to listen well to these words from the book of Leviticus, focusing on broad generalizations and on the particular problem and problems which I have raised. I will deal with chapters 13 and 14 as we have tried to introduce you to the first 17 verses of chapter 13. I will deal with chapters 13 and 14 first, which deal with the matter of unclean skin conditions. Then we will consider chapters 12 and 15 together, since both chapters pertain to uncleanness related to the process related to sexual reproduction. In conclusion, we'll attempt to find the solution to the puzzle of uncleanness for which there is no direct responsibility. So as we think about these verses this evening, chapters 13 and 14, we'll make this point. Uncleanness resulting from skin disorder. Uncleanness resulting from skin disorders. Now, chapter 13 and 14 declare serious skin ailments to render the individual unclean and pronounce the process by which such ailments are identified, as well as how the recovered Israelite may be pronounced clean. And so the term leprosy, employed by most translations, even the translation I'm up here with, New American Standard Version Updated, the term leprosy employed by most translations needs to be understood, as I mentioned at the beginning, in a very general term, as it is very likely, the disease we know as leprosy is not mentioned in our text as one of the unclean skin ailments. Now, what do you read all the way through there? Leprosy, leprosy, leprosy. There's one translation, and Brother Ronnie, he's packing it tonight. It's the NIV. The NIV helps us with this by rendering the original term, the original Hebrew term employed for all these unclean skin disorders. It renders it, and you might want to make a note in your Bible, it renders it as infectious skin disease. So whenever you see leprosy in your King James Version or New American Standard Version, it might have been leprosy, but probably it's more of an infectious skin disease other than leprosy. Does that make sense? That's where scholars end up with it. This is undoubtedly infectious skin disease. This is undoubtedly a better and more accurate rendering of the text. All of our translations have high points, and all of them have some misses or some almost misses. Now, they all get the gospel right, praise the Lord, amen. They all get the gospel right, right? Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected the third day. That's all right in any of these translations I just mentioned. But when we get to the finer points of what this means and what that means, things that do not separate us doctrinally, we're just talking about details out there. Brother Ronnie's Bible is more accurate, NIV. Infectious skin disease. It's more accurate than what we have here as leprosy in our Bibles. Now, you may be wondering, well, Pastor, what exactly, because there's more than one, what exactly, when you talk about infectious skin disease, just go talk to a dermatologist, what exactly was the different diseases of the skin? What exactly were they? Well, let me just say, we would be speculating at best in trying to answer that question. I really don't think us coming up with a list of skin diseases is necessarily the point of our study. What we need to appreciate is that the skin ailments are described as unclean by the text. Now, we can go here. What are the characteristics of the unclean skin disorders, because they share some characteristics. According to one commentator, there are 21 different cases of skin disease in chapter 13, along with three different cases of diseased garments. Now, we'll not attempt to deal with each one of these, but we should note some of the common characteristics of these diseases. So I'll give them to you, common characteristics of these diseases. They are all visible. They are all visible. They're all external, right? Not anything internal. These things you can see on the flesh, on the skin. The term skin is used broadly here in the Word of God, referring not only to the skin ailments of people, but also to the skin coverings of material, leather, perhaps even of buildings. By and large, the ailments were not fatal, not as serious as we might have expected. These ailments affected only a part of the body, not all of the body. The skin diseases are all chronic, persistent, serious, contagious, and or contaminating. Only the priest could declare a skin condition to be clean or unclean, which sometimes required him to go outside the camp. The primary concern, common characteristics of these diseases, the primary concern is not curing the individual nor protecting the public health, but of protecting the sanctity of the dwelling of God in the midst of the camp. The sanctity of the dwelling of God in the midst of the camp. Now jump over. We read out of Leviticus 13. Jump over with me to Leviticus 15, and we'll look at verse 31 through 33. The last three verses of chapter 15, It says, thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness, so that they will not die in their uncleanness by their defiling my tabernacle that is among them. You see the sanctity of God's dwelling? This is the law for one with a discharge and for the man who has a seminal emission, so that he is unclean by it. And for the woman who is ill because of menstrual impurity, and for the one who has a discharge, whether a male or female, a man who lies with an unclean woman. Right? Now, Numbers chapter 5, verse 3 reads this: you shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside the camp, so they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. Referring the inferences back to that tabernacle. Deuteronomy 23:14 says, since the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to defeat your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy, right? And he must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you. So, we end with this tonight. What are the consequences of being declared unclean when we think about these skin things? Things which were declared unclean in chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 either had to be purified or they had to be destroyed. So they could be washed with water. We covered that in chapter 11. You'll turn there with me, 11, verse 32. Also, anything which one of them may fall when they are dead becomes unclean, including any wooden article or clothing or a skin or a sack, any article of which use is made. It shall be put in the water and be unclean until evening. Then it becomes clean. And then we'll jump down to the end of these chapters that we're covering. 15, chapter 15, 6. And whoever sits on the thing on which the man with the discharge has been sitting shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. So washed with water. Also burned with fire. Burned with fire. 13. Chapter 13. We're hitting the high points here. 13, 52. So he shall burn the garment, whether the warp or the woof, in the wool or in linen or any article of leather, in which the mark occurs, for it is a leprous malignancy, it shall be burned in the fire. Now, does anybody want to take on the warp or the woof? Anybody got an idea on the warp or the woof? What in the world is that talking about, the warp or the woof? Yeah? Go for it. That's it. There you go. The warp goes one way, the woof goes the other. It can also refer to the inside or the outside of something, okay? The warp and the woof. All right, so that was 15, chapter 15, where were we at? Verse 52. And then verse 55, 1355. After the article with the mark has been washed, the priest shall again look, and if the mark has not changed its appearance, even though the mark has not spread, it is unclean, you shall burn it in the fire. Whether an eating away has produced barrenness on the top or on the front of it. And then again in 57, and if it appears again in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, it is an outbreak. The article with the mark shall be burned in the fire. And then if it can't be washed, can't be burned with the fire, then it is broken. And that takes us back to where we've already been in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 33, as for any earthenware vessel into which one of them may fall, whatever it is, whatever is in it becomes unclean, and you shall break the vessel. And again in verse 35, everything moreover on which part of their carcass may fall becomes unclean, an oven or a stove shall be smashed. They are unclean and shall continue as unclean to you. All right? Washed with water, burned with fire, broken, or ultimately torn down and demolished. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 40. 14 is a long chapter, isn't it? Yeah, verse 40 and 41, torn down and demolished. Then the priest shall order them to tear out the stones with the mark in them and throw them away in an unclean place outside the city. He shall have the house scraped all around inside, and they shall dump the plaster that they scrape off at an unclean place outside the city. Verse 45 of chapter 14 reads, he shall therefore tear down the house, its stones and its timbers and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Still with me? Still with me? Amen? So people who were declared unclean by the priest, they suffer the humiliation of being declared, and in some cases of having to declare oneself unclean. And then the resulting isolation from the presence of God and from association with the people of God, that which was unclean was put outside the camp, away from the presence of God and His people. Chapter 14, let me get back there. 14, verse 8, the one who is to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. In some cases, the unclean thing or person was viewed as being a contaminator of others. Leviticus chapter 15. All right. 4 through 12. Every bed on which the person with the discharge lies becomes unclean, and everything on which he sits becomes unclean. Anyone, moreover, who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. And whoever sits on the thing on which the man with the discharge has been sitting shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. Also, whoever touches the person with the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Or if the man with the discharge spits on one who is clean, he too shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. Every saddle on which the person with the discharge rides becomes unclean. Whoever then touches any of the things which were under him shall be unclean until evening, and he who carries them shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. Likewise, whomever the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. However, an earthenware vessel which the person with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every wooden vessel shall be rinsed with water. Now, when the man with the discharge becomes cleansed from the discharge, then he shall count off for himself 7 days for his cleansing. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water and will become clean. Praise the Lord. Amen for that. 23, verses 23 and 24. Whether it be on the bed or on the thing on which she is sitting, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. If a man actually lies with her so that her menstrual impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. 26 through 27, any bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her like her bed at menstruation. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening. Bottom line is, praise the Lord for Jesus, amen? Because His blood makes us clean. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll pick some more of this up on Wednesday and try to make some points as we go through it. Amen. Any questions? Yes, sir, Brother John. Oh, Brother John, be careful. Yeah. Oh, mine too. Yeah. To Moses and Aaron, yeah. 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 Yeah, when you got that many people together. Yeah. Right. Well, think about it this way as we close it out before I pray. Even in our own country, you know, in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, study this. When a lot of sports began, a lot of outdoor sports, right? A lot of outdoor sports, right? The idea was to get people from congregating inside tight-packed urban areas and get them outside, right? Breathing what? Fresh air. Running and exercising, amen? Yeah, amen, amen. All right. There's going to be some good application. You just got to stick with me. We're going to go through a lot, all right? Just hang in there. Amen, all right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We've introduced a quandary of topics, and I'm sure, Lord, people have many, many questions, as Brother John talked about, his head spinning, my head spinning. Lord, we pray for clarity. We pray for your wisdom as we go through these chapters. We pray not to rush through them, but Lord, we pray that you just, with your Holy Spirit, illumine us to the truth that we need to glean from this. And Lord, we seek to build our Bible knowledge, not so that we can just have Bible knowledge, but so that we can be more like you. And Lord, we want to be washed by the Word. We want to be led by the Word. We want to be helped by the Word. So, Lord, even this word in Leviticus, this section here, you have a plan and a purpose for your church with it, and we seek to ferret that out and to find it as we study these chapters and verses. We love you tonight. Give us safety as we depart this place. Give us a good coming week this week. And, Lord, we just pray that you lead, guide, and direct us as we go. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. Thank you online, folks. We'll see you next time.